Listen to this following story. The captain of the ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately, he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm the captain. Well, soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a seaman third class, Jones. Well, immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Well, you alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a lighthouse. There is a great, great lesson there that's going to lead us into what we're talking about today. The captain had to overcome his pride, being captain of a battleship, in order to avoid destroying a ship. This morning, we're going to look at the need to overcome pride if we don't want to destroy our soul. Our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 14. And I hope you have your Bible so you can read this account, beginning in verse 7. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. A little background first. Jesus is in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And while they had been watching him very closely, he had been watching them. And he saw what they were doing. He had been observing them. He noted how the Pharisees were choosing the seats of honor at the tables. If you go back to the first century and look, when a banquet, a feast, an arrangement of tables would look something like this. It would be like a flat-bottomed U. Table here, a table there, and then a table like that. Flat-bottomed U. And the guests, the people, would sit, usually reclined, around the outside, and no one would be sitting on the inside. Well, the center of each of those three tables were the seats of honor. The one in the middle. So the Pharisees, when they were coming into this banquet, this supper, they were all vying for those seats of honor. Those are the ones they wanted. And so Jesus has been observing them do that. So he decides this is a good time to teach a lesson on humility. So beginning in verse 7 of Luke 14, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, the ones of honor. When you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you'll have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He's telling them, when you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the chief seat. Why? Very simple. You may not be the most important one there. You may think you are. And if you choose the best seat, the one where the most important person's supposed to sit, what if someone comes in more important than you? Well, the person giving the feast will come and ask you, I need you to move to a lower seat. See how embarrassed and humiliated and ashamed you would be? So he says, don't do that. Don't think when you come to a feast, a banquet, a supper, that you're the most important person there. There's a very good chance you're not. So he says, take the lowest seat. And then the person that's giving the feast, the banquet, will see who is there when everybody's present, and he'll see, wow, I want you to sit in a seat of honor. So he'll ask you to move up. How wonderful that would be. Humility. It says, take the lowest seat. Practice being humble. Then you might be asked to go to a higher one. Now, we certainly don't want to stretch that to the breaking point. Parables usually teach, you know, one or two main lessons. This parable doesn't teach us that we should degrade ourselves or abase ourselves in that sense. No, we have dignity that God has given us. We are made in His image. Remember what the Godhead said all the way back in Genesis, let us make man in our image. So we have some self-dignity that comes with being made in God's image. So we shouldn't have any self-contempt. We should have some self-respect. We are told to love our neighbor as ourselves. So if we have contempt for ourselves, and if we degrade ourselves or abase ourselves, then we're not going to love our neighbor as we should. So there is an aspect where we need to have some dignity and respect. So the pride here that he's condemning, that he's rebuking, is arrogance, conceit, self-importance. Pride is sin. And it's serious business. There are no unimportant sins. There are no irrelevant sins. Any sin, regardless of what it is, can keep us from heaven. Now that's a stark reality, isn't it? You know, we have this image in our mind, this list in our mind, and we probably all have one, of these are the really big major sins I need to stay away from. The terrible ones, you know, the murder, the stealing, the adultery, the rape, and these type of things. I got to stay away from those. Those are serious sins. And then there's some that we don't think is a very big deal. Pride, that's surely pride couldn't possibly keep me out of heaven. That's not a big deal. So we maybe inadvertently make that list. The Bible doesn't have such a list. The Bible says sin is sin. Sin's a transgression of the law. Doesn't make any difference what you transgress. In God's eyes, it's sin. Murder, oh, we think it's terrible, and it is terrible. So is being arrogant. And being arrogant can keep us out of heaven. So pride, arrogance, is a serious, serious thing. In Proverbs chapter 21, the wise man tells us something about sin that we all need to be very aware of. And that's what we need to read. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, the wise man says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. A haughty look, a proud heart. They're sin. You mean a haughty look can keep me out of heaven? Well, that's what God said, yeah. A proud heart can keep me out of heaven. In Proverbs chapter 8, going back just a few pages, again, the wise man says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Did you hear that? Pride and arrogance God hates. And if it's something God hates, it had better be something that we hate. The Bible says pride makes a person unclean, unclean spiritually. Jesus taught this back in Mark chapter 7. If we go back from where we've been reading, in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, now these are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of men, all right? Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Notice in that list, he's got adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and blasphemy. And then pride is right there in the list. Serious, serious business. Pride, it's a work of the flesh. It comes from not following the Spirit's teaching. Pride comes from following the world's teachings. Pride is evidence that a person is still living in the world and for the world. Lust of the eyes, pride of life. Pride of life. What is even worse about pride is pride can cause other problems. Pride can lead to other problems. It can keep a person from becoming a Christian. In Matthew chapter 18, we see this very thing happen. Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 1. One of Jesus' teachings about pride and humility. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew 18, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Kind of makes us think about the seats of honor. And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst, and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You see what it says? Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. It's an instruction about humility. Unless you're willing to have that innocence and humility, you cannot enter heaven. That's some pretty strong language coming from the Messiah about humility and pride. It can keep Christians from confessing sin. In 1 John chapter 1, John alludes to this. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. John writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Pride can keep us from confessing sins, to the point of saying, "I don't even have any sins." See, that's what he says. If you say that you don't have any sin, you're deceiving yourselves, because everybody does. See, pride and arrogance can keep you from thinking you've done anything wrong. That's the danger of it, he says. That's the danger. So how do we examine ourselves honestly? I found these questions from Brother Wendell Winkler. He's, of course, passed away now, but he could really get to the heart of a matter if you ever heard him preach. Could really get, just zero in right on the middle of it. So I'm going to read these questions that he wrote many years ago. In order to ascertain whether or not we've ever been guilty of the sin of pride, let us ask ourselves these questions, being scrupulously honest in our answers. That's the hard part. We can ask the questions, but being scrupulously honest, that's a little harder to do. Have we ever been motivated by pride to accept an important capacity in the local congregation? Have we ever declined an opportunity to serve so as to be pressed a little harder? Have you ever been motivated by pride to refuse a job within the local church which seemed to be insignificant and unimportant? Now he seems to be meddling, doesn't he? Boy, he's really getting to some serious questions about motivation. Why are you doing what you do, or why do you say no sometimes? Well, he goes on. When we were constructively criticized, did we resent it because our selfish pride had been offended? Have we ever become jealous and envious when someone outdid or outdistanced us? Or that were they promoted and commended and we were not? Did we get jealous and envious because of that? Have we ever pushed ourselves to the breaking point because of our pride? Have we ever had difficulty appreciating what others have done and expressing that appreciation because of pride? Have we ever been controlled by pride to the extent that we would not admit that the position we held on a given matter was wrong? Has our pride ever hindered us in responding to the invitation when we really should have done so to make things right? Well, those are some real soul-searching questions that just get right inside of us and cause us to look at our motivations. Our motivations for doing something or for not doing something or the way we think about something. Pride. So we don't need to look for pride in others until we've gotten rid of it in ourselves. These are some serious soul-searching questions. So how do we treat it? We know what it is. We know what it looks like. And now we should know whether we have it. So how do we get rid of it? What's the treatment? We have to come to a very balanced and appropriate, proper understanding of our worth. Of our worth, of who we are. And not go to the extremes. God loves us, considers us precious. Remember, Christians are His prized possession, according to the Apostle Peter. We're His prized possession. We're made in His image. So we do need to have a proper understanding of our worth. But on the other end, we have to understand that we're just human. We are not God. We're not God. And all that we have and hope to have, we owe to Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Salvation comes from Him. Redemption comes from Him. Our hope of heaven comes from Him. None of those things are because of us. We're not capable of saving ourselves. I suppose if we could save ourselves, that'd be something to be proud of. But we can't. We're totally incapable of it. So we shouldn't have pride in that sense. This thought alone should keep pride and arrogance out of our lives, realizing that we cannot save ourselves and that we're eternally lost without Him. Back in the Old Testament, there's some great words by the prophet Micah, of course, by inspiration, about pride and humility and how we should approach God and how we should see ourselves. So if we'll go back to Micah chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 8. Micah chapter 6, I should have marked this, so I should have got there a little faster. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It's a very familiar verse, and I know you'll remember it when you get there. It's on page 1041. That will help, I know, if you happen to have the exact same Bible I do. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Listen to these words. These are words we maybe should make a plaque out of or put on our refrigerator door. Matthew 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And listen to this. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, that reduces it down pretty simply, doesn't it? Practice justice, do what is right, love mercy, be a person of mercy and compassion, and walk humbly with your God. Accept what He says. Don't think it's all about you. That's the advice we need to follow. We need to cultivate humility in our lives because Satan fell because of pride. His arrogance caused him to fall. So pride comes from following Satan. Arrogance comes from following Satan. So instead of seeking the seats of honor, let us take the lowly places among men. As Jesus said, if you want to be exalted, you must seek humility. Exalted in the next life. Humility. Well, how did you do on the self-examination? We probably all had a little problem with it. We have to work on pride. We live in a society and a culture that tends to elevate the person above God. God tends to be leaving our culture, and instead, man is being elevated to the supreme person, the supreme authority. It's man, not God, in our society. But of course, our lesson this morning says just the opposite. We have to work on treating pride and arrogance, because they can creep up on us. Satan deceives us. Pride is a work of the flesh. Comes from following Satan. Comes from following the values, the ethics of our world, and not following God. This morning we have an invitation song where we need to read the words and understand the words of the song, because it's inviting to examine ourselves to see if there's a need to respond. And this morning, have a desire to become a Christian by having your sins washed away, if you have a desire to, as a Christian, ask for forgiveness through prayer, then we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song. Let us stand, please.